I'm Pick.
And I'm Shovel.
Welcome to Breaking Soil.
Welcome, guys. Well, it's September 2nd, Labor Day, son. Can you believe that? Episode 6.
Episode 6. All right.
All right. This is Spindrift, your favorite brand. It's sparkling water. It's lime and mint.
It's called the Nojito.
Yeah, Nojito. See what you think. Cheers.
Cheers.
What do you think? I don't know about that.
It doesn't
do it.
No.
I just bought a whole pack of that stuff. I'm going to send it off with you.
All right.
That's a no to a Nojito.
Labor Day means fall is here. Did anything interesting happen this week?
Yeah, just was a really nice week hanging with my family, grilling and chilling. Had some nice sun tea. Did some gardening. My Rose of Sharon's out. It's just blooming like all over the place.
Rose of Sharon, what is that?
Yeah, it's an hibiscus plant. And it just, right now, if you look at it, because we're outside in the deck, see that plant right over there, son? It just looks like a field of cotton on it. Just amazing.
I guess what I should mention is that we are actually podcasting outside.
Oh, yeah, we should have said that.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
And we're at your crib and not my crib this
time.
That's
right. Yeah, different location.
That's the cool thing about kind of the mobility that we've put into this podcast. Everything can be moved.
Yeah, and someday maybe we'll do a show or something somewhere and we'll interview people. That sounds pretty cool.
I know. I was looking at going to like a Comic-Con and getting a booth and just selling t-shirts and hats and podcasting there. And for $300, we probably would get at least
One or two viewers or what?
Right.
Listen to the show.
Right.
Yeah, hey, you know what else I did? Just, to make it short, because I know we got a long show, is I've been reading Ernest Hemingway.
You've actually been reading?
I've actually been reading. Not just reading the beginning and then the end.
Are you listening to it?
No, I'm actually reading it.
Which book?
Well, I just finished reading The Old Man, in the Sea.
Old Man in the Sea?
Yeah, with the fish and everything. Yeah, it was really good. It's one of his classics. It was really, really, really good. But the other thing you said, how's the summer going? Fantasy football is here, son. I'll leave it. How's your summer going? But so it's been going really good.
I've been busy working most of the time. I spent a lot of time this week on the podcast. I'm not gonna lie. We're on Spotify now, Apple Podcasts. You can obviously use the RS feed and plug into any podcast app. You can find us at Breaking Soil on X, at Breaking Soil on X. We are also on YouTube. We are on iHeartRadio and Amazon Music, but we're having trouble getting the episodes to play. I have tickets open with both iHeart and Amazon. Hopefully we'll be on TuneIn, SoundCloud, Wondery, and I'm thinking about Twitch. So if you have any other suggestions, you let me know.
Hey, you're doing a great job with all this. I'm glad you're our technical advisor because I would be lost in the woods here. But you're doing a great job. And I did play something on YouTube. I just did exactly what you said. I said, I just typed in Breaking Soil on YouTube and it showed up.
Isn't that crazy?
Awesome. That was awesome. Yeah. So you're doing a great job, Zon.
So I'm trying to make sure that we're out there so that when we are ready to advertise the podcast to people. I don't think we're there yet.
Yeah, we're just learning to grease the wheels right now.
And I have intros for most of our segments, so that's interesting.
Yeah, that's good.
Are you ready to do some news, maybe?
Yeah, I'm just...
We got to keep the podcast
I know.
Moving.
Well, I'm just going to read a lot of the text, but a lot of this stuff people can look up. Okay. But I'm just going to read a lot of the text, so...
Hold on. Let me play our new intro for news.
Okay.
It's time for the news on Breaking Soil.
Extra, extra, extra! Read all about it!
Extra, extra, extra long time!
This is what's happening in your world tonight.
What do you think about that?
Hey, that sounds good.
Does it sound like a good intro for
news? Yeah, it
does.
Extra, extra. Hey, well, I'll tell you what's going on in the news right now. Globally, what I got was there was airstrikes exchanged between Hezbollah and Israel. And it was getting pretty bad there. And Hezbollah, Lebanon-based Iran-backed Hamas, allied militant groups had reportedly planned a rocket attack on northern Israel in retaliation of the assassination of its top commander last month. Israel says it's learned of the attack and blunted it, striking thousands of Hezbollah rocket launchers so that the 50%, maybe two-thirds of rockets didn't even lift off. So just a lot of tension going on over there. Not a good situation for everybody involved. So that's what's going on right now. Do you have anything?
So my understanding is Hezbollah is much more prepared for this round of attacks with Israel. They have somewhere in the range of 120,000 missiles that they can use. Sure, some of them might be duds, but they do have a lot and are expected to be able to inflict some damage in Israel.
Hopefully the Iron Dome does its job. We'll see. The other thing I had, which was really cool this week, is, you know, now the Olympics are all gone. You got the Paralympics, and, you know, I don't think they get a lot of love. I mean, pretty much the Olympics take all the run. But basically, it started this week on Wednesday, August 28th, and it'll run to September 8th. But just wanted to give a little snippet of a couple things. There's 4,400 Paralympic athletes from all around the world that will compete with in 549 medal events. In 22 sports. The one that caught my eye, which I had never heard of, was blind football. It was pretty cool. Have you ever heard of that, blind football?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's anybody who's into football, these are people who have an impairment.
Football, as in American football?
Soccer, yeah, good point. Basically, it's athletes with visual impairments. They play with an auto ball, and basically the only people that can actually see is the actual goalie, and the managers are the only ones that can see what's going on. So I thought that was pretty cool. And, you know, the Paralympics, they're people too.
Did you watch any clips?
Watched a couple clips.
How does that work?
They're talking. The manager, just imagine five people out there. They can hear this ball ringing. Right?
Oh, it rings.
Oh, yeah. It makes an audible sound. And the only people that can talk is the goalie and the manager. The crowd has to absolutely be quiet because you imagine people talk, there's no way they could hear it. So it's really interesting. A lot more skill involved. But I thought that was really cool. So not even a fourth of what the Olympics was. They had 10,000 athletes. These guys only have 4,000. But they're still people, and I think they should have been recognized. Goes till September 8th, and still in France.
All right. Did you have any other global news that you wanted to...
No, that was about it that caught my eye. A lot happening. I'm pretty sure you're going to have some stuff here.
I got some stuff. I'm going to try to get through it as fast as I can.
Okay.
Privacy and free speech is under attack, and I wanted to... I read this book called Fate of Africa.
What was it?
It's a book called The Fate of Africa.
The Fate of Africa.
Europe basically conquered Africa. They were split. Spain, France, I think even Portugal had land in Africa. They had imperialistic policies back then and conquered these nations, and they were under the rule of, you know, France and Spain and England. Well, they fought for their independence. And during that time period where these African nations were fighting for their freedom, they were called terrorists. Later, the history books advertise them as freedom fighters, but they were called terrorists during that time period. So I just wanted to in this topic of privacy and free speech, one man's terrorist is another man's freedom fighter in some cases.
Depending what side you're on.
Yeah. And so that brings us to my first clip, CEO Pavel Durov, CEO of Telegram, got arrested in France. I have a clip.
Okay.
Founder and CEO Pavel Durov has defended his messaging platform Telegram for years.
Do you sleep well at night knowing terrorists use your platform?
And our right for privacy is more important than our fear of bad things happening, like terrorism.
Telegram did eventually ban terrorist activity, but its staunch refusal to cooperate with law enforcement led to the Russian-born billionaire's arrest late Saturday upon landing in a private jet near Paris. According to reports, his detention is related to an investigation into the lack of content moderation on the app and its role in enabling criminal activity, including child sex abuse material, cyber scams, and organized crime. In a statement, Telegram said it abides by EU laws and its moderation is within industry standards and constantly improving.
A lot going on over there.
Well, he's arrested because they aren't apparently moderating the website the way that the government wants.
And controlling the content. They want to control it. That's definitely an attack of free speech, for sure.
I understand the child aspect of it. Okay, if there's that those types of materials on Telegram, I am not saying that I support having that material on there. If Telegram has that material, it needs to get rid of that material.
Right.
I am totally on board with that. But to arrest a CEO of a company because basically free speech.
It isn't free speech.
It isn't.
Yeah, if the government gets involved, to be fearful of saying something, they have a lot of control.
There are other examples. Brazil Supreme Court, Alexandre de Moraes.
Alexandre de Moraes.
There you go.
Yep.
Shut down X. It is no longer.
They shut it down.
They shut it down.
Wow.
And that was bold. Because the Supreme Court wanted Elon Musk / X to moderate some of the opposition leaders in Brazil, and they refused to do it. They won't silence some of these, you know, people that are exercising their right for free speech. And because Elon Musk won't moderate or delete those accounts or remove those accounts or silence those people, they shut Twitter / X completely down.
Well, if Elon were to do that, he'd have to do that with everybody. So he's in a bad place. But that's control again.
In Turkey, they're blocking Instagram. Reports say it's in response to removal of posts on the Hamas chief, meaning Instagram pulled some posts that the Hamas chief made, and Turkey did not like that Instagram pulled those posts, so they're blocking access to Instagram completely.
Wow.
TikTok, as we were saying before, is being attacked by U.S. Congress. In Hong Kong, arrests were made against journalists, which were found guilty of sedition, which I wasn't really sure what sedition was. It's conduct or speech inciting people to rebel against the authority of a state or monarch. So that happened in Hong Kong.
See, you had something about Zuckerberg, too, there.
Yeah, I don't know if you did you hear about that one?
I did not hear about that one.
Well, let's play a clip.
Okay.
And set it up.
A shocking letter from Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg admitting that the government pressured the parent company of Facebook and Instagram to censor COVID-19 content during the pandemic. What he's now saying about his company's moderation policies.
That's pretty messed up.
That's intense. Well,
anytime the government tells a company to do something behind the scenes without the public knowing, that's pretty messed up, man.
Yeah, well, that's control. That's, you know, the freedom of speech is definitely being attacked at that point.
Those were stories that I thought in the UK, they're also being arrested for posting things online. They're having problems with immigration over there big time, and people are getting stabbed. I don't know if you...
No, I didn't see that.
People are getting stabbed in the UK.
Really?
Yeah. And then what's happening is because these immigrants, a lot of them are immigrants that are causing and creating violence and committing crimes, there's a whole hate against these immigrants, and people are posting hate speech online, and people are getting arrested for it, literally, just for posting things online. Hmm. So you got to be careful these days.
Yeah. Another news in Israel, I saw you had something that's really close.
They stopped fighting for humanitarian reasons. Remember we talked about the polio outbreak?
That's really intense disease.
So I was happy to see that Israel at least stopped to address the polio outbreak that's going on. They sent the polio vaccine.
It's hard.
Serbia announced $3 billion deal to buy 12 French fighters. Do you know anything about the French fighters?
No, I didn't catch that one.
I don't know which one they bought, the Rafale or the Mirage 2000, but those are the two fighters that France uses, so I'm not sure which one that they sold them. But yeah, I didn't even know France made their own fighters. Did you?
No, I didn't. I always thought they bought stuff from people like us and other places, but I'd rather them buy them from us. You know, I don't think we'd give away, you know, our top plane, the F-35. I think that's the one that we have now. That was the one that was transitioning in when I got out. So you had something about Afghanistan?
Yeah, there's gender apartheid going on there. Mm. There's a new law out from the Propagation of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice, forcing women to fully cover their body and faces.
Yeah.
It also forces women to be silent, not allowing them to speak in public places. And this came from the Taliban Supreme Leader, Hibatullah Akhundzada.
Yeah, I never could pronounce those names. Yeah, but it was probably happening before we got there, and when we left, they're just reestablishing rule. I bet you that was just still happening.
I have a
way
clip.
Before.
In Afghanistan, the Taliban has approved a wide-ranging law that forces women to completely cover their bodies, including their faces, and remain silent in public. The law will be enforced by the morality police, who work under the Ministry for the Propagation of Virtue and the Prevention of Vice. The law codifies many rules that have been in place since the Taliban returned to power 3 years ago. The law has been widely condemned. This is Ravina Shamdasani, spokesperson for the Office of the UN High Commissioner for Human Rights.
These are partners who are being completely silenced, and they're attempting to render them into shadows. Their voices are no longer permissible. Education is no longer permissible. You cannot even see their faces. This needs to stop, and we need to continue talking about it. We need to continue advocating for it and putting pressure on the authorities to listen.
Yeah, I was going to say something on that. They had something where a couple of women, I don't know if it was in this area, but they were singing, being very vocal to make a statement to say, hey, you're not gonna stop us. It almost sounds like, you know what, well, not anything close to what the U.S. experienced when the women couldn't vote, the women's suffrages and all that stuff. I mean, that's pretty intense over there, more intense, because they can die over there from that. Yeah.
It's way different than suffrage. Way worse than
they're definitely controlled. But it was that way. I'm not saying it's right, but it was that way before we got there and liberated them, and then they just went back to what they used to do, the enforcing Shia law.
Yeah, I did see Afghanistan. I don't know if it was Afghanistani women, but I saw. I think it was women from Iran. Were singing with their faces covered. It might have been Afghanistani women, but yes, Muslim women that are whose voices are being suppressed. They were singing online with their faces covered.
Right. Yeah, it was in solidarity of what's happening to these women over there, and it's really sad to see that happening.
Yeah.
But it's not surprising. I wasn't surprised by
that. They're trying to make a law in the UN to outlaw a gender apartheid. I know that doesn't really do a whole lot because there's no way to really enforce it.
Yeah, right.
All right, moving on. Water in the world is not being managed properly. It's being wasted. Water is something very close. I don't know if you remember this, but water, clean drinking water, is one of those unalienable rights. I believe that God put fresh water sources here for us to use, and people are abusing that God-given right. Anything related to water, I immediately glob onto. So let me just play this clip. Chile right now is having some issues with water, and they're handling it a little bit differently, where they're charging people. They're trying to manage water rights and trying to come up with different ways to solve the water crisis. So this is part one.
Roughly half of humanity lives under what are called highly water-stressed conditions for at least 1 month a year. That means they either don't get enough of it or they get far too much in the form of floods. Adapting to this will require not only new technology, but also a new politics. Well, in the past two decades or so, flooding has afflicted about 1.5 billion people, and droughts in the same period have afflicted just about the same number. But climate change is making it worse. It's going to increase the severity and frequency of floods and droughts. The World Bank estimates that by the end of the century, the global supply of fresh water per head will fall by about 29% from what it was in 2000. So that's a big reduction, but it's not evenly spread at all. So you've got parts of the world where it's disastrous. So Africa, it falls by 2/3. And parts of the world where it's not a big problem at all, like Europe. Now, of course, logically, what you might see there is a lot of people wanting to move from the places which have gotten drought-stricken to the places where there's still lots of water.
Well, it's just the basic essentials of life. I mean, you can live without food for a long time, but without water, you won't last very long. So it should be readily available just to sustain life, let alone quality of life, you know? So, yeah. So
it's a big deal. Here's part two.
Chile's a good example of successive governments failing utterly to come up with a solution to the problem. So the previous conservative governments, long time ago when the country was wetter, said, okay, landowners need to have the right to pump a certain amount of water, and those rights will be forever and for free. So they don't have to pay anything at all for pumping groundwater out from under their land. The trouble is, if you pump groundwater out from under your land, that affects everyone else's supply of water. And so they've granted far more rights to pump than is sustainably possible. So all the farmers have to get together and haggle over who gets how much, and it's really difficult. What they're not doing is putting a price on water. If you don't have to pay for each gallon you pump, you don't have the same incentive to use less of it. One or two places have put a price on water, and it's worked pretty well. So Australia, farmers are allowed to buy and sell water entitlements, and then the government comes in and buys up some of them to reduce the total amount and raise the price. And that makes farmers conserve water. It means they grow slightly less thirsty crops. It means they're more likely to adopt new technologies like sort of drip irrigation or hydroponics. And it means you're more likely to have the true cost of water reflected in the price of the food that you eat. So right now, in many places, if water's free and you're growing a very thirsty crop like nuts, the price of that water is not reflected in the nuts that you buy in the shop.
I like the idea of things regulating themselves. So if you charge for water, all of a sudden you're not growing things that take up a lot of water. You're growing crops that use minimal amounts of water.
I can relate to this.
Yeah, I know you can.
I'm not going to talk too long on
it. Go ahead.
We had about, I don't know, 4,000 or 5,000 acres out west. And we used a lot of water, and we had to pay for those water rights, let alone the electricity to pump the water out. Some of these wells were 400 to 500 feet in the ground. But without that, we wouldn't have any crops. And you're right. There is certain crops that require enormous amounts of water, like watermelons, anything that is a water-based vegetable. We did cotton and grain, which were more sustainable for that dry region, but water was really, really important.
I knew that you had experience with dealing with water, being a farmer. When you say we, you're referring to...
My whole family down south were farmers and ranchers, so water was very sustainable to our success.
So when I think about water, I think about why can't we desalinate the ocean?
So yeah, plenty of water there.
There's a lot of water there. So I started researching, and I had this idea, the same idea, where you'd magnify, you create a glass dome, or it could be plastic, that just refracts the light and creates like a magnifying glass on the water so that it creates evaporation. And son of a gun, they're doing it in a city called Neom, which is in the desert in Saudi Arabia. They're creating a sustainable, whole sustainable city. There's a whole cool, to go look it up. If you've never heard of Neom, it's N-E-O-M. There's a lot of cool projects out there, but here's the solar dome clip. It's related to the how they're desalinating water.
The world is getting warmer. Water is becoming scarcer. Neom is using pioneering technology to create fresh water from sunlight. This is how it works. The technology involves bringing in seawater via a glass enclosed aqueduct system, heating the water as it flows towards a giant desalinator in the form of a dome. An array of mirrors focuses concentrated solar radiation onto the glass and a highly conductive steel frame structure that then transfers the heat to the cauldron below. As a result of this process, the pressurized steam produced is discharged through an outlet from where the steam condensate is piped as fresh water to reservoirs and irrigation channels. This pilot project promises to revolutionize the process of water desalination, producing low-cost, sustainable fresh water and thus addressing one of the world's most pressing problems. Neom is an accelerator of human progress, and the future of water starts here.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Pretty neat. Yeah. Yeah, the only thing is, anytime you have a process, just like anything else, is what do you do with the waste? And these desalinization plants create this waste called brine, and it's really toxic. If they throw it back into the sea, and it affects the plant life and the fishes and everything, so it does affect the ecosystem.
Brine is an extra byproduct in water.
Yeah, it's the byproduct. What's left over after they take the fresh water out. So it's pretty toxic for the environment. If they can find a place for that,
I think they just need to figure out a way to dilute it
or use it for something. You know, I'm pretty sure use it for some other purposes that wouldn't affect the environment. But that was the only thing I saw. But you're right. Something needs to be done for that. Us in America, we're not too worried about that. Everybody has fresh drinking water. But you go to Africa and all these places, they're drought stricken. Just having water just to live is a basic.
Yeah. All right. We got to move fast. We're about 30 minutes in. We are not even through the news. We're halfway through our news segment. In U.S. news, the Falcon 9 rockets were grounded. This is the same rocket that was supposed to go up and get the Starliner crew members in February. They got grounded. There was a commercial spacewalk. The first commercial spacewalk was supposed to happen, and something happened with the... They were sending up Starlink satellites. I don't know if you're familiar with Starlink satellites, but it was a Starlink satellite mission where the Falcon 9 rocket didn't land on the ship properly. It fell off the ship. Oh. So I don't know if you know how the Falcon 9 rocket works, but it goes up into the... It goes up, brings the capsule up. Once it separates, as it tumbles back down to Earth, it actually relights and lands on a ship.
Oh.
It's an amazing process if you haven't
seen it. I haven't seen it.
It's an amazing process. The rocket fell into the ocean. It tipped into the ocean. It landed wrong. And because of that, NASA grounded the entire Falcon 9 rocket system. So they could affect the astronauts coming home in February.
That's terrible.
Just to add some flavor, we've been talking about SpaceX and Boeing. Blue Origin is Jeff Bezos' space program. and they sent the youngest female into space, which I thought was cool. She's 21. Her name is Carson Kitchen. I thought that was cool that happened this week.
Yeah, it's pretty neat.
Moving on, the Trump Arlington scandal. Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson pulled some strings to get Trump into the cemetery. And there's rules surrounding politicizing and campaigning in veteran cemeteries. It was a big deal. I thought it was a bad look. I don't know if you heard about Trump supporting the 6-week abortion law in Florida. He's on camera telling an interviewer that he's against the 6-week. He believes it should be longer than 6 weeks. And then he flip-flopped. His supporters, they went after him, and now he flip-flopped. He actually is supporting the 6-week abortion law in Florida now.
I'm just going to put my foot right here, is that he has been against abortion from the beginning, and I'll just leave it at that. I don't know all the details.
Yeah, I know he's against abortion, he does believe in whether he says it or not, because he did say it and then flip-flopped on it, okay? He does believe in his core that there should be more than 6 weeks. He believes that. He believes it. Whether it's right or wrong is debatable, but he does believe that. I think that's important for people to if you're making a morality decision with Trump and abortion, he does believe in there being longer than 6-week abortion.
Yeah. Well,
so anyways, go ahead. Yeah, you have your stories.
We'll just move on from that.
Yeah, go ahead.
The only thing is with this election that I saw that was really interesting was these swing states. That might just change the direction or who we have as president. And these states are Nevada, Arizona, Wisconsin, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, and Georgia. Let me explain to you what a swing state is, and I'm just going to read it because I really can't explain it better than this text. A swing state is one that considers to play a key role in the outcome of election and where candidates have similar levels of support. The group of swing states is often similar during each presidential election cycle. Georgia, for example, swung into the swing state category in the wake of Biden's surprise victory there in 2020. And I just thought that these swing states are going to be very crucial for them for the election. And there's a lot of information on the internet on this.
This is my understanding. Kamala Harris cannot win the White House without Pennsylvania. There are some scenarios, I guess, if she wins Arizona, Nevada, and Georgia. But my understanding is Pennsylvania is the battleground state. I've heard it all this week. It's like 49-50 there. It's very close.
It's going to be interesting what happens. But that's the news around the globe and the U.S. What do we got next, son?
Pop culture, baby.
Yeah, here we go. You want me to start it off?
Go ahead.
All right. Hey, I know our whole family's been watching Big Brother. What is Big Brother? Basically, I'm just going to read it because I can't explain it better than what these people say. And it's quick. And it's an American television reality competition show based on a Dutch reality show which the same creator, John DeMolay Jr., back in 1997. The Big Brother, what it is, it follows a group of people living in a house together, outfitted with 94 cameras, 113 microphones, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The public can see what's going on. And what they do is they vote each other out every week, and then the last person standing wins $750,000. It airs on CBS on Sunday, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. It's on its 26th season now, And it started in July, and it should end, in October 13th. So I really like that show. I know you've been watching it. My wife's been watching it. My whole family's been watching it. It's pretty amazing. So, well, who do you think will win
who do I think is going to win?
Right.
Or who do I want to win?
Who do you think is going to win?
Maybe Cam or Quinn.
Cam or Quinn?
Now that Tucker's gone.
Yeah, that was my pick, so I have no idea who's going to win now.
I don't either. I want Quinn to win.
Yeah.
I like Quinn. He's from Omaha.
Oh, he is?
He's from Omaha.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I actually have a clip.
In here with Tucker, who was just evicted by a vote of 5-3. Looking at you in the BBAI arena, I didn't recognize you. Did you throw it?
No, I built the thing backwards, and it wasn't going. I thought I had to have the numbers facing where the board was, not me.
You love puzzles, so you just misunderstood.
I love puzzles. I just misunderstood this one.
I asked you, do you understand the rules? And you said yes.
I know.
All right, 5-3. The people who voted to keep you, no surprise, Rabina. You know the other two who voted to keep you?
Chemo and Joseph.
Yep. Who, if anyone, do you feel betrayed by?
Nobody. They're all lovely people. It's a game. I knew that I was a tough competitor, and whenever people were going to get the shot to take me out, they were going to take it. So, nobody really.
All right.
Well, that was my thing on the Big Brother. It's if you guys are listening to it, it's free entertainment.
Yeah, Tucker was the last one voted out. That's their post. That was the post eviction interview with Julie Chen Moonves.
That's right.
Yeah.
Good show.
All right. What else do we got for pop culture, Dan?
Did you notice the pumpkin spice lattes are coming back earlier?
I couldn't believe that you this is the story that you picked.
I know, but it was all over the internet.
I thought it was great, man. I thought it was hilarious. I thought it was a great pop culture pick. I didn't realize it was back early this year. I've never been a big fan of pumpkin spice.
Me neither.
It's okay. Just like chai tea. It's like, it's okay.
Yeah, people were talking all over it. And then I noticed going to Walmart, they got all this Halloween stuff out already.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, we're still in August. School hasn't even started yet. Walmart, Home Depot, all the big box stores have it. I'm just wondering in September if we're going to have Christmas stuff coming out, you know?
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Your recommended show title was Pumpkin Spice Lattes Already Here.
It's terrible.
Mine were Pumpkin Spice for Those Who Are Nice. That was my show recommendation. Or Pumpkin Spice for Those Who Do Not Have Lice. Or Pumpkin Spice for Those Who Cannot Stomach the Price.
Yeah, what's happening here? It's just a marketing ploy. They're trying to beat people to the punch. And, you know, ever since this COVID thing shut and slowed everything down, they're trying to pick up speed now. So I think
we got 15 minutes, man.
All right, let's get rocking and rolling.
I'm going to skip some of these. I watched Inside Out 2. I give it a 10 out of 10. I watched Despicable Me 4. I give that a 6 out of 10. I'm watching Big Brother, House of Dragons, Mayor of Kingstown, Bad Monkey, and Fargo. The Emmy nominations have come out. The best drama nominations are Shogun, The Crown, The Morning Show, The Gilded Age, Slow Horses, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, Fallout, and Three Body Problem. I'll tell you which ones I've seen. I've seen The Morning Show. I give that a 7 out of 10. I've seen Mr. and Mrs. Smith. That's a 6 out of 10. I've seen Fallout, which is a video game that I played. That is a 10 out of 10. And the rest of them I haven't seen. I've seen The Crown, but not the latest season.
I haven't seen any of those.
Yeah, I know you haven't. Best comedy, Abbott Elementary, The Bear, Curb Your Enthusiasm, Hacks, Only Murders in the Building, great show, Palm Royale, Reservation Dogs, and What We Do in the Shadows. Only Murders in the Building is the one with Martin Short and Steve Martin.
Oh.
And Sarah Gomez. I don't know if you've seen that show. It's really good.
I think I've seen one of those.
Yeah,
I give that a
9 out of 10. Curb Your Enthusiasm, obviously a 10 out of 10 with Larry David. The Bear is a great show, 10 out of 10. And the Emmys for the Best Limited Series, Baby Reindeer, Fargo, Lessons in Chemistry, Ripley, and True Detective Night Country.
I don't think I've tested any of, I've seen any of those.
Oh, Selena Gomez.
Yeah.
Did I say Sarah Gomez? I
said Sarah Gomez. Selena, yeah. That Gomez. Was the one in
Only Murder.
Yeah, I did see that one. Yeah, that last set, the best limited series, I don't think I've seen.
I've seen Fargo.
Fargo?
Fargo's a great show, man.
Is it?
If you haven't seen Fargo, there's a bunch of, I think there's five seasons total, and it's a separate story each season.
Really?
It's really, really great.
Hmm. Huh. Yeah, I don't think I've seen any of those. Well, that's interesting. Something to watch.
The other pop culture item I wanted to mention was this week there was in Spain something called La Tomatina.
Oh, yeah.
And it's pretty cool if you go out and see it. They're swimming in tomato sauce, throwing tomatoes at one another, making tomato angels. It's held in Buñol near Valencia. The event was capped at 22,000 people this year.
Wow. That's crazy. Tomatoes.
You want to play a game?
Yeah, sure. I'm done really well. I was supposed to get one for you, but what do you got?
Shall we play a game?
It's time for a game.
This one is called Two Truths and a Lie. Mm. And it is very, very easy to play. All right. I'm going to read you three statements.
Okay.
You have to determine which one is true.
Okay.
Okay. Two lies and a truth. It's supposed to be two truths and a lie.
Okay.
This is two lies and a truth. So you got to pick out which one is the truth.
So I have to pick two. So you're giving
me. No. You just got to pick one. Pick out the truth. I'm going to give you two. Three statements. Two of them are lies. One of them is the truth. Okay?
Okay. I just need to pick one true one.
One true
okay,
one.
Okay. Let's do
All right,
it.
You ready?
All right. I'm ready.
My Starbucks order is a grande half-calf latte. That's statement number one. Wendy's is my favorite fast food chain. I have traveled to five or more different countries. Come on, man.
Well, the second one is true. And the first one is a lie.
Well, there's two lies and one truth.
I know. I just gave you the first one is a lie. The second one's true. So the other one has got to be true. Because I know you've been to more than five countries.
I'm saying there's two lies and one truth.
Oh, I thought
there's
you
only
said
one truth.
I thought there was only one. You
There's
only
want one truth. There's two lies and one truth.
Oh. The truth is the Wendy's and the other ones are lies.
All right. That's incorrect.
Wait a minute.
Wendy's is not my favorite fast food chain.
Well, I know it isn't Burger King.
Subway.
Yeah, it is Subway. You're
it's fast food.
Yeah, Subway. Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know you liked, you don't like Starbucks.
Like Starbucks, but I don't
but
order a grande half-calf latte.
I don't even know what the heck that is.
Half-calf means half-caffeinated.
Oh, okay. All right.
I'm never a half-calf person. I'm full caffeine all the way.
I know, yeah.
Yeah. All right, you ready?
Yeah, one more.
No, I got plenty more. 49 minutes in. We got 10 minutes to close this up. Let's keep playing. You ready?
Another lie? Okay,
Two lies and a truth.
Okay. So you only want me to take the truth.
I only want you to find the truth, man. That's it.
Okay, all right.
You ready? I drink 2 cups of coffee every morning. Jell-O makes me gag. I met a celebrity on the side of the road. Which one? Of course, I'm trying to get you. You do realize that.
I know you are.
I'm trying to get you.
I
so
know you
figure
are. I
out
think
which
I know
one
you.
It is.
Obviously, I don't.
We'll figure it out. Make sure you talk into
number,
your mic.
Number three.
Number three?
Yeah. It's a lie. You met a celebrity on the road.
Two truths and a...
Wait, I thought you
no,
said...
No, two lies and one truth. You're supposed to pick truth. The truth.
Well, I said number three.
You said that was a lie. It's okay. Two lies and a truth. There's one truth. All you have to do is figure out which one is true. Just true or false, man. I can't make this game any easier.
I'll just go with like what I did in the military. A, B, or C. Never could go wrong with C. The last one
is
true.
That's correct. I met a celebrity.
Hey, military never let me down.
I met a celebrity aside the road in Hawaii.
Really?
It was the gym teacher from Glee.
Oh, I definitely know who that was.
No. All right, you ready for another one?
Yeah. Well, all right, let's try it again.
I've eaten alligator before.
You what?
I have eaten alligator before. I once won a pie-eating contest at least once in my life. I cut my sister's hair once. Which one?
I won a pie-eating contest.
No, I've eaten alligator before.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. You've been to Florida quite a few times.
Well, actually, I had alligator in... We saw on Food Network one of those drive-in dives shows, and they had a restaurant in Omaha that served alligator bites. There's two more.
All right, go ahead.
My favorite character in Star Wars is Yoda. My first job was at a restaurant. I don't use fabric softener when I do my laundry.
The second one's the truth.
The first job was a restaurant?
Dang, I thought I knew. I thought it was a restaurant that you worked at. What was the first one? Yoda?
My favorite character in Star Wars is Yoda.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Nope, it's Luke Skywalker.
I knew that.
Fabric softener when I do my laundry.
I knew that.
It makes it gets me, if I use fabric softener, it makes me break out, so I don't use it.
Yeah.
All right, here's the last one. I have never dyed my hair. I have been stung by a jellyfish. I have never driven a convertible.
You've dyed your hair. I know that, because the first time you did that, I couldn't believe it. Probably driven a convertible. Show the second one. Stung by a jellyfish.
Stung by a jellyfish? No.
No, yeah.
I've never driven a convertible.
Really?
I've never driven a convertible.
Never? You've been in
a convertible, but I've never...
Oh, but you haven't driven one.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
All right. And that's how you play a game.
Dang, I thought I knew you, man.
No, you don't. It's okay. I made them so that you couldn't get them.
Well, I'm going to do that to you on one of these shows later down.
It's harder to build a game than you think, Dad.
I know, but
I set it up every single week for you so you could have a little bit of fun with me. You can do it, but it takes work to set it up. You got to set it up.
Yeah.
I'm totally up for it. I'm totally up for a game. Totally up for a game.
All right.
What's next?
We should just do... We're going to do the random acts of kindness and finish it with sports?
Yeah, let's do random acts of kindness.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
He does exist!
They do exist.
I want to ask you about when the angels sang to you.
All right. So you have a clip. I actually think this is not helpful at all.
Well, we can do it, and I can explain it afterwards. I can do a word picture.
Okay, let me play. Let me play this clip.
Unaware of how many people were actually in need of food, this guy's one act of kindness marked the beginning of a chain reaction.
Yeah, let me tell you what this clip was all about. And it was a food, it was a social experiment on somebody trying to do something nice, but it ballooned a lot bigger than I think he thought. He was trying to preserve the dignity of people who need food that was out in the street in a big city. Instead of trying to give them food in front of everybody else, he gave him dignity. He brought the food, put a sign out, and says, if you need food, please take it. It's free. But what he didn't expect, and he put a bunch of food out there, is that other people were bringing food as well. So I thought that was pretty cool that somebody was created enough to preserve the dignity of somebody who's homeless or somebody who's in need. And it just spurred on other people doing neat things. I thought that was pretty amazing.
I don't have a problem taking free food. I don't have a problem going to shelters.
Some people do. Or somebody that's in dire may not be sitting on the street
that's
homeless.
I know that you do, but I would not have any problem taking food from a shelter, or there's no shame in that at all. You shouldn't feel like your pride is disheveled or broken down. It is perfectly okay to go and get food from food banks and shelters. I'm totally, totally on board with that. People need that.
I know that. I guess I've never been in that position to that far in need that I...
Yes.
And for me, I don't know if I could do that. I'm pretty sure if you have to, you would. But I've been blessed enough to where I've never had to beg for food or look for food. I've always had enough. It may not have been the best quality, but it was enough to sustain me. And I've been blessed like that. But I imagine other people.
One of the things I thought was cool about the video was people actually bringing the food and putting it there.
And leaving.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not getting recognition. No,
they
the
were just wanting people to have food.
Right. And it looked like it was a cold environment in the city, so I imagine the need is a lot greater.
Like it was New York City, is what.
Yeah, it looked like it, right? So, but I thought that was pretty neat when I saw that. It really, really got me. So,
all right, you ready to move on?
Yeah, let's do this.
All right, this week in history. I don't have an intro for this. I will next week.
Okay.
The lethal combination of German blitzkrieg tactics, French and British inactivity, and Soviet perfidy doomed Poland to swift defeat after Adolf Hitler invaded the country this day in 1939 and sparked World War II. So this was right around the time where the blitzkrieg happened. I thought that was a pretty powerful moment in history. On August 29th, 1974, inmates at the Bedford Hill Correctional Facility for Women staged an uprising against the prison guards in protest abusive conditions. About 200 women in the prison launched a rebellion after one inmate, Carol Crooks, was brutally beaten and then thrown into solitary confinement.
The only thing I have to say about that is I worked in this prison about 15 years after the uprising, and it was horrible conditions then. So hopefully
I knew that you had an experience with this specific prison.
Yeah, it's a horrible environment for anybody working or living there. Yeah. Just terrible. That's all I got to say about it.
On August 26, 1924, the Montreal Star published an impromptu interview with Henry Ford, the owner of the Ford Motor Company and one of the richest men in the world, in which he praised the Ku Klux Klan as his yacht was passing through the Lachine Canal in Quebec on its way to Michigan. So,
yeah,
this is, you know, one of our heroes of history, you know.
Yeah, it did. Blew me away when I saw that. But I did read a piece about him.
Great, he invented the assembly line. I guess that's great for everybody, but also...
He made good cars, and he still does. I mean, well...
Biggest thing that he brought was the assembly line. Yeah. That was the biggest contribution to
the auto industry.
Yeah. On 7th July 2005, 52 people are killed by a series of bombs in London's transportation system.
And that's all you had there, because I did the same thing on the invasion of Poland. Yes.
All right, good. Yeah. I don't have a by the numbers clip, and this is honestly a very, we still don't know what we're doing with this. But I do want to talk about, there's a jobs report coming out September 7th. That's a big deal.
Yep.
The inflation is supposedly coming down. There's key indicators like the Labor Department released the personal consumption expenditure price index, which they use for inflation, and it's 2.5% down. So it personal consumption expenditures price index means what you spend, they keep track of that, and it's down 2.5%, which means
people can't afford things.
They want to lower interest rates. That's what they're going to do. The GDP also was 2.8%. What they thought was 2.8%, it actually was 3% last quarter. So the Fed is expected to cut rates to help with inflation. The Commerce Department reports Friday that personal incomes had increased an unexpected 0.3% in July, up from June's 0.2%. This is what I was just saying before, too. The Commerce Department also revised upward its estimate of the annualized growth of the gross domestic product in the second quarter from 2.8% to 3%. This is also happening in Europe. Fresh data reveals that the Eurozone's annual inflation rate fell to a three-year low of 2.2 in August, driven by lower energy prices. And basically, they're also going to be cut. The Euro Central Bank, the European Central Bank, they're going to be lowering rates as well. And then this, I thought maybe we could just mention here in this segment that Kamala has a policy that she says she's going to tax unrealized stock gains for people worth $100 million or more. I am firmly against this. I do not believe that stock that is invested can be taxed. But that's what she's basically, you know how Elon Musk operates. Have you ever heard him talk about his finances? He's cash poor. He has hardly any money, but they give him credit because he's got all this stock, because all of his money is invested in, well, all of his assets are invested in stock, SpaceX, and, you know, so he doesn't have a lot of cash. So with this policy, Kamala would be taxing those stocks that he has. And I just don't like that.
I never had that much money, so I couldn't say.
Yeah. And the other thing is Nvidia lost 10% of its market value, which is $300 billion. They gained some of it back, but that's a huge amount of money. I couldn't believe that they lost $300 billion. I mean, just in 1 week, they gained some of it back, but it on Thursday they lost $300 billion. That's so much money.
Paper money is what somebody says. If you sell it.
And as far as reading commodities and currencies, I found a good website to deal with this, but I think we'll just hold off this week.
Yeah. We're going to have to just cut it down a little bit or just not go so heavy on the news. We'll find our footing on that. Yeah, there's a lot to cover in that area.
I do have a clip that runs through the numbers very quickly.
Okay.
Dow Industrial's up 228 points today, 0.6%, 41,563. The NASDAQ gained 197 points, 0.1%, finished at 17,713. The S&P 500 pocketed 56 points. It's about 1% there, 56.48. For the 5 days gone by, the Dow added 0.9%. The NASDAQ slid 0.9%. S&P 500 picked up about 0.25%. Equities closed on Monday by the buy. Bonds down, yield on the 10-year T-note increased to 3.91%.
Are we getting into now our favorite segment of the show? Besides, that game thing is a lot of fun.
Sports, baby.
Yeah, here we go.
All right. You want to start us off?
Sure. We know there's a lot of sports going on right now. The EPL League had just started. The English Premier League. Really big across the pond there. It's starting in August 2024, and it goes all the way May 2025. And my team is the Tottenham Cockerels. And that's my team.
Tottenham Hotspurs.
Hotspurs.
What did you say?
That's their nickname, is the Cockerels.
Cockerels.
It's a rooster on top of
top of the soccer.
Yeah,
ball.
That's their nickname. So, yeah. The Hotspurs. If you guys are out there, hopefully I didn't disrespect that. That's my team. What's your team?
He picked it because they played. Well, I don't know if it was.
No,
just
that
because
isn't the reason. I like the history of it.
Oh, okay.
They're really.
They
old.
Played. My team, which is Newcastle, this week. And although the Hotspurs definitely outplayed Newcastle actually won.
Yeah.
I don't have...
The clip is in there. I don't know why I put it in there. It's the last goal. It was tied up, and it was an amazing goal. So
it was a 2-on-1.
Yes. Yeah. It was a breakaway. It was a breakaway.
It was a breakaway, and it turned into a 2-on-1, and
yeah, he didn't
slid the ball over to the other guy, and he put it in the net.
The goalie didn't have a chance. Yeah. But I thought it was pretty cool.
Let me for those that don't understand the English Premier League, like my father, I'm going to play a clip that explains how English Premier League works.
Okay, go ahead. All right. I'm learning.
The most watched sports league in the world is making its return. No, it's not in America. It's the English Premier League, or more commonly referred to as the EPL. For those who need a refresher or want to jump into action for the first time, here's what you need to know about the EPL restart. First, there are 20 teams in the EPL, and top to bottom, it's considered the most competitive and highest quality soccer league in the world. EPL is essentially the SEC football of European soccer. Everyone watches, and the league is often dominated by its big six, the Blue Bloods, if you will. The EPL has 38 weeks, or match days. The season paused, with most teams finishing their 29th match. There's no playoff tournament for the EPL, but don't feel too bad. More on this later. And Liverpool was well on its way to winning their first ever EPL title. Even though the title has essentially been determined, there's still plenty at stake. It's a mad dash race to be in the top four of the standings, or across the pond, the tables. While EPL doesn't have a postseason, it's all about qualifying for the following season's Champions League, the tournament of all soccer tournaments that pits the top teams in all of Europe against each other in a World Cup-style format. It's soccer's March Madness and Super Bowl all in one. The top four EPL clubs get automatic bids into the tournament, with this season's fourth spot going down to the wire. Chelsea, which has Christian Pulisic, the best American player in the world, and Manchester United, the most popular club in the world, competing neck and neck for the final spot. And unlike American sports, there's no such thing as tanking. The bottom three teams in the league get relegated each year to a lower league in England, so no club can ever let down their guard. It'd be like sending the Bengals to the XFL or the Knicks to the G League. Maybe we can speak that into existence. Regardless, enjoy the games. I mean, matches.
All right. So did you get all that?
That's a lot. I'm going to have to listen to it again. Okay, that so was a the whole
biggest,
mouthful.
This is the biggest things that you need to understand about EPL. The top four teams, that's where you want to be. That gets you into the Champions League for the next year.
Okay.
So the Champions League, like he said, it's like the World Cup and the Super Bowl combined. It's
they
a big
compete
deal.
Against a lot of people.
They compete against like the France League, where you got Mbappe and actually I don't know where Mbappe is.
People from the U.S. right? Our league up here.
I don't think our league is in the Champions League.
No,
I don't think they're in the Champions League. Hmm. But it's mostly European clubs. Like
right.
like Spain's got a big professional. Yeah.
Yeah.
They got I'm trying to think of a Spanish football team. Ronaldo was on it.
I know it's really huge. I mean, their stadiums are huge. They over 100,000 fans in there. We're just starting to do that now in our stadiums for the NFL. So it's a very big sport.
Real Madrid, FC Barcelona, those are the ones that I'm familiar with. Yeah, those are the ones that I... Real Madrid. Let's see. French soccer clubs. There's French ones, too. But these are all leagues. There's a Spanish league, just like the EPL.
Right.
And the winners of the Spanish league and the French league and the English league, they all play in a tournament. It's pretty cool.
Well, the quality of the sport is amazing. I only watched a couple clips of the game, and, you know, I always want people to score, but it is so difficult because the teams are so good.
All right, enough about soccer.
Yeah.
I have a clip that explains the college football, which the biggest changes. So in college football, there used to be 5 major conferences.
Right.
Right. So I know you're new to college football.
Right, I'm learning that too.
Okay, there's the Big Ten,
right?
The Big 12, the SEC, the ACC, and the Pac-12. The Pac-12 got decimated. Schools went to the Big Ten and to the ACC, basically rendering the Pac-12 with 2 teams.
What?
Yeah, that's all that's left is Washington State and the Oregon State Beavers. So those are the only two teams left in the Pac-12. It completely ruined that division or conference. It's probably going to be gone. It probably is going to be totally gone. So, but here's a clip that explains all the major changes. It's a little long, I know, but it really explains what's happening in college football right now.
Okay.
The first domino to fall came 3 years ago. In 2021, Texas and Oklahoma announced that they were leaving the Big 12 for the SEC. The SEC had just signed a $3 billion media deal with ABC and ESPN, and the two powerhouse schools wanted in. The teams were contractually required to play in the Big 12 through the 2024-25 season, but they left a year early after paying the conference a combined $100 million exit fee. Despite the name, the Big Ten has grown far beyond its original 10 members. The Big Ten's expanding roster now includes these 18 schools after adding USC, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington this year. This lineup stretches from coast to coast, creating a conference that covers the entire country, but the question is, why add new teams to an already balanced league? A year after the SEC announced it would be adding Texas and Oklahoma, the Big Ten saw a chance to close the gap between them and their rival SEC. They made a bold move, convincing USC and UCLA to leave the Pac-12. The move helped the conference secure the biggest media rights deal in NCAA history, a mid-$7 billion deal with Fox, CBS, and NBC. Then, the Big Ten added two more big West Coast media markets, Oregon and Washington. The Pac-12's struggle with securing a lucrative media contract played a significant role in these additions. As the conference faced financial uncertainties, the advantages of the Big Ten's big media deal became irresistible. UCLA is projecting that joining the Big Ten will cost an additional $4 to $5 million a year in travel expenses. The ACC is also at the center of the CFB shakeup. Three schools are joining the league: Cal, Stanford, and SMU. The ACC is primarily made up of schools on the East Coast. You got Duke, UNC, Miami, but the three new schools are the conference's first teams west of the Mississippi River. Traveling from the East Coast to California or Texas significantly increases flight times. For example, the distance from Berkeley, California to Miami, Florida is roughly 2,900 miles. That translates to a 5 to 6 hour flight. Traveling from Stanford to Boston is around 200 miles farther. Joining the ACC means higher travel expenses, but the new teams are more focused on the potential increases in revenue from the TV deals. The conference's three new schools are taking a big financial risk. The ACC's TV deal pays out member schools about $30 million a year, but the new members had to forfeit some of that money to convince the existing teams to vote them in. Stanford and Cal are giving up 70% of that revenue for their first 7 years in the conference. Meanwhile, SMU won't receive any media revenue from the ACC for 9 years. Instead, SMU will rely on money from donors. Boosters have pledged over $200 million to the Mustangs over the next 9 years, and SMU has raised a school record $159 million this year alone. After the 7 to 9 years, the new schools are also expected to receive close to the $30 million in payouts from the conference's media revenue. That number is nearly triple the $9 million a year SMU got from the AAC. This expansion will reportedly bring the conference an additional $60 million to be dispersed between the pre-existing ACC schools, some of which will be handed out on a team performance basis. But it's not all smiles in the ACC. Florida State and Clemson are in legal battles trying to force their way out of the conference. The Big 12 now has 16 teams. Four new schools joined the party this year: Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado. These schools, formerly known as the Pac-12's four corner schools, spread the conference out across the country and across all four major US time zones. These additions came in response to the league losing two powerhouse schools. Remember, Texas and Oklahoma announced they were heading to the SEC back in 2021. A few weeks later, the conference responded with plans to add four more teams. BYU, UCF, Cincinnati, and Houston officially joined the Big 12 in 2023. Just a few months after adding those four teams, Colorado announced the move to the Big 12 in 2024. Then, the other three new teams officially joined this summer. As a result, the Big 12's roster will now include these 12 schools alongside the new members: Arizona, Arizona State, Utah, and Colorado. Once celebrated as the Conference of Champions, the Pac-12 is now just two teams, completely falling apart after losing 10 of its 12 members.
So, did you get all that?
Yeah, I got all that. That's a lot of information. I'm probably going to go back on Breaking Soil and listen to this again. Really good clip, a lot to take in.
Well, the biggest things are Texas and Oklahoma went to the SEC. That was a big move. And then UCLA and USC went to the Big Ten. That was a big move. Colorado, Arizona State. And Oregon and Washington are also in the Big Ten. And then Colorado went from and Arizona State, and I can't remember all the moves to the Big 12, but...
Big money.
Well, it's all about the TV deals.
Oh, that's so crazy, man.
So I just wanted to, just to cover the college football.
Going to hit the highlights on those?
Yeah. Brief discussion about Saturday's outcome, the expected rankings. They probably are out now.
I would just go with the top 10, man.
Georgia will remain in first for sure after a convincing win against Clemson, 34-14. Georgia's second half was outstanding with standouts Beck throwing for 278 and wide receiver London Humphrey and running back Nate Frazier. They were all standouts. Trevor Etienne is out after a preseason DUI, only out for one game. Nate Frazier did so well, though, he may have opened the door for more opportunities. Nebraska's also had a big win. I'm going to follow Nebraska this year because it's my team. Wins big, 40-7 after a great performance from Dylan Raiola, first time out there. He's trained under Mahomes, Patrick Mahomes' quarterback team, I guess they have a team or camps, and Raiola went to these camps, and it's all about stretching and torquing, and so he looked really good. Notre Dame slid by Texas A&M, 20-ranked Texas A&M, 23-13. Penn State beats West Virginia with emphasis. USC and LSU. USC upset LSU 27-20 at Las Vegas' Allegiant Stadium on a game-winning drive executed by the Trojans' first-year starting quarterback Miller Moss, putting a cherry on top of what was a thrilling opening weekend of college football. USC running back Woody Marks was the one who scored the winning touchdown, which came on a 13-yard carry up the middle with seconds left in the fourth quarter. Marks' touchdown was set up by a 20-yard reception from Kyron Hudson and a 15-yard targeting penalty on LSU safety Jardon Gilbert. I have projected rankings, but these are going to be wrong just because these were projected. The new rankings are probably out. This must be before. This is after. This is not after this week. So let's just hold off on that.
Yeah, a lot of college. I mean, I didn't know there was such a shakeup like that. I'm just learning about it. So
Alabama's probably going to go up 3 ranking. A nice jump for the Tide, who rolled through the Hilltoppers in a 63-0 decision on the back of Jalen Milroe's 5 total touchdowns. And Bama is back in double digits on the FBI's win projections. Oregon down 8. The Ducks played things remarkably close against Idaho at home, despite Dylan Gabriel putting on fabulous numbers, scoring late to pull away from the Vandals. Louisville up 8, likely. Tyler Shough threw 4 touchdown passes as the Cardinals stepped on Austin Peya in a 62-0 drubbing, and suddenly this is the ACC's second best team on the index. Clemson down 8, just 3 points from Garrett Riley's offense in the face of Georgia's pass rush. And once again, the critics are loud and legion against Dabo Sweeney's approach. Miami up 12. Cam Ward looks as good as advertised, picking apart Gator defenses with his arms, while the Canes backs added 2 scores. Michigan is down 3. The champs played a little too close against Fresno State in the opener, but Will Johnson's pick 6 sealed it as Texas awaits in week 2. That's a big matchup. That's the biggest matchup this week, Texas versus Michigan.
Okay.
UCF up 11. The Knights stacked up 454 rushing yards in a beatdown over New Hampshire to start out. Auburn up 3. 4 of Peyton Thorne's 12 completions were touchdowns. The Tigers' new-look receiving core lit up Alabama A&M in a 73-3 route. The games of the week for week 2, these are the games that I have listed for us to watch. Okay. Number 9, Michigan versus number 5, Texas. They're probably going to be ranked third overall after this. 12 p.m. on Fox in Michigan, in Ann Arbor. Arkansas at Oklahoma State, 17-ranked Oklahoma State. 12 p.m. on ABC at Boone Pickens Stadium. Baylor at 12-ranked Utah on Fox at Rice-Eccles Stadium in Salt Lake, Utah. And this is a classic every year. Iowa State at 25-ranked Iowa, 3:30 p.m. Even though Iowa State isn't ranked, they always play them hard. And then this one, I believe Colorado, Nebraska might crack the top 25. They're unranked right now, but this is a big matchup. Colorado at Nebraska. That's a Big 12 matchup against another Big 10 team.
That's in Lincoln. Wow.
At Lincoln.
Okay.
7:30 p.m. I believe on Saturday. Those are all on Saturday. All right.
That's the college football.
That's college football.
That was a lot. Yeah, interesting. So, where do you want to go with that? I mean, did you want to go over the best three games next week? It's starting this Thursday.
Well, we both had our NFL draft.
Right.
Our fantasy football draft. Did you want to go? Did you want to cover our rosters?
I don't know if I'll, maybe we can do that next week, or it'll be too late because then it'll be already started.
Well, we can still cover it.
Okay,
we'll go over our fantasy football teams next week.
Yeah.
The games of the week that I picked are the Ravens versus the Chiefs, the Rams versus the Lions, and the Jets versus the 49ers.
Yeah, of course the Cowboys and the Browns. Rams and Lions, I want to see that game. But the team I really want to watch is the Texans and the Colts. I just want to see with all that talent what they do with that.
Yeah, sure. Okay. The only other sports item that I thought would be fun to talk about is Tom Brady. He has a choice to make. A very large paycheck for broadcasting or become part-time owner of the Las Vegas Raiders.
He can't do both.
Well, here's the deal. So he signed with Fox Sports 10 years for $375 million. That's nothing to shake a stick at.
That's not any change.
Versus, okay, so this is the deal. The group Brady is a part of is projected to buy roughly 10% of the Raiders, with the retired quarterback to have around 7% of that investment, meaning there's 10% of the valuation of the Raiders, which is right now at Sportico values the Raiders at around $5.8 billion. So 10% investment into that, and 7% of that 10% is $40,600,000. So
ahead.
That's what he would have to spend to be a part of the Las Vegas Raiders. And this is the deal. He won't be allowed to watch other teams' practices, sit in on production meetings with coaching staff.
Yes.
And secrecy is the name of the game in the NFL corridors and hallways. They're worried Brady will gain a competitive advantage for his team by being an announcer. And here's another cool fact I found out. It's so secretive that players get fined if they lose playbooks. The largest fine in the NFL right now for losing a playbook is $14,650. That's nothing to shake a stick at either.
No, it isn't. Yeah, right. That's a big decision he's going to have to make. I mean, he loves the game. He is the GOAT.
I think he's going to keep trying to do both, but a lot of the owners don't want him to be an announcer and be an owner. They think there's a
conflict.
Oh,
he's
going to
have the inside scoop plus all his experience and wisdom. Yeah, a lot of people are going to want to hear what they have to say. Hey. That was a long segment, but a beautiful day.
Beautiful day out.
Yeah, we had family around us.
Yeah.
It was awesome, I thought.
That's the end of the episode.
Hey.
I don't have anything else. Do you got anything?
No, I don't, man. Let's go to the beach. So nice out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We like to end the podcast with saying that we're thankful, we're grateful.
We're blessed.
We're blessed.
Definitely.
And I love you, Dad.
I love you too, son. Have a good week.
And that is episode 6 of Breaking Soil.
Hope to see you guys next week.
Hope to see you next week.
Yep.